stand up. And let me just tell you, you know, I say this all the time, and it's not a matter of false humility. You know, it is nerve-wracking to stand up before God's people and to preach, to speak. Because you're held accountable for the things that you speak. And I'll tell you right now, I'm going to be honest this morning, the best part of this message for me is when it's over. I'm not going to lie. Because then I get to relax a little. And unfortunately, you know what? We should be prayed up and ready and clean every day we walk on God's green earth. But I'm gonna confess. I am never as clean as when I'm put on notice that I got to speak before my brothers and sisters. I mean, I make sure that I get behind the ears. You know, I get all those crevices. You know, I examine myself. I'm prayed up. Because I take it seriously, you know. And I should be that all the time. And you know what? There's a wonderful benefit to that. You know what? I get reminded when I do that how great my God is. And I remind myself of some things that I already know. And I'm not going to share anything with you this morning that you don't already know. There's not going to be any profound exposition on the Bible. But you know what? It's good to remind ourselves of who we are in Jesus Christ this morning. And my message this morning is a message that hopefully will be a blessing to you, because it was a blessing to me as I sat down and prepared for it. And I struggle over these things. When I preach, I don't pull out old notes. I like to prove God. I like something fresh. I don't like leftovers. I don't know about you. I'm a spoiled American. I like a fresh, hot-cooked meal every night. And you know what? God is good, man. It's like, you know, I don't remember the day, but it's like the light bulb goes off and His Spirit starts speaking to you, and He puts some things in your heart, and He gets you to the Word. And God is great. Listen, I'm not sufficient this morning for anything, but my sufficiency is of Him this morning. So if you were turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to speak to you this morning about some things that are needful and necessary in the body of Christ. And you know what? I don't care where you're at this morning. You might have come through the doors with some heartaches and fears and tribulation and anguish. Your plight and situation physically in this life might be one where it caused you to go to bed crying every night. You know? You might not have assurance this morning. Hey, you might not even be saved here. This message this morning is for saved believers. I speak to believers all the time. I spoke to a man on Friday at my job named Haywood Bailey. He believes in a lot of things. You know what? It's not enough to be a believer this morning. You better be a saved believer this morning, because there's a difference. A lot of people believe this morning, but you better be a saved believer. You know why? Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Savior of all the world, but especially to those who believe. So I want to provoke you unto love and good works this morning. You forgive my roughness, you know. I grew up in Brooklyn across the street from the projects, you know. So you have mercy as I just share some things this morning. And Greg, I promise that we'll get out before the start of the Yankee game tonight. Is that all right, brother? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I'm boasting in Thee and Thee alone this morning, Father. I have no words to share, but Lord, I have Your word this morning. And I have a song in my heart and joy. I have a spirit, Lord, not of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So I'm standing in Your confidence this morning. I'm boasting in Thee, Lord, by the power of Your Holy Spirit. Put me aside and speak through me today. Lord, use my mouthpiece that I might edify and encourage my brothers and sisters, Lord, this morning. And we'll be careful to give You all the glory and honor for anything that's achieved in our midst this morning. I pray most of all that Jesus Christ would be lifted up in our midst and that we'd be drawn to Him afresh and anew. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to start now in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Listen, I want to tell you something this morning. I don't care where you're at. You might be a young person, and the biggest thing on your plate is passing that driving exam, or sitting on the SATs, or deciding what school to go to. Or you might be even the school, and you don't know what to major in. And you might be past that stage. You might be a young bride. You might be a year or two into marriage. Maybe the things of life are starting to grow dim. Maybe the things that brought you joy don't bring you joy anymore. Maybe you have children, and maybe the children aren't bringing you joy. Or maybe you find yourself later on in life, you're 60, 70, 80, and you feel like you have no use for God. Maybe you're just sitting here full of confused ideas and fear. Maybe you're not walking with God this morning. I'm here to tell you something this morning, according to what I just read. Do you know that you are needful and necessary in the body of Christ this morning? And you know what? If you found yourself that you're at the end of your rope, that you don't have the answers, that you're filled with anxiety, and you don't sleep well at night, you know what? Physically, the world would say you're in a bad place. But you know, spiritually speaking, get ready, because now you're ready to be used of God. Because when you come to the end of yourself, that's when God can step in and he can get all the glory and honor from your life. When you're filled with pride and self-sufficiency, when you think you've got the answers, you know what? You're no use to God. So you see, life is a paradox. You might not be sure of yourself. You might think yourself quite inadequate. You know what? That's a good place to be for God, because now God can use you. God can use you. Look at the person sitting next to you this morning. Maybe they haven't been here in a while. Doesn't matter. Listen, I don't care what decisions you made last week. You might have made some bad decisions, right? I don't care. Listen, you might have really messed up in some really bad sin. You know what? There's no shame in what we do. You know what the shame is? What are you going to do after the fact? You're going to get up? You know what the problem with Christianity today? You know the decisions we make that are outside God's will? That's just the fruit born from a tree of spiritual idleness. That's the problem. You see, when you physically do the thing out in the physical realm, there was something planted long before that manifestation happened. And you know what? I would dare say that that manifestation only happened because you failed to do something that you should have been doing. And that's the bottom line. Listen, we need to make choices every day. You know, we need to be wise in our decisions. You know, if we were honest this morning, according to this script portion of God's word, we all are prejudiced. And all that means is that we prejudge. You know why I know that? Look at this. Look what it says here. It says, nay, in verse 22, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Listen, God doesn't think that they're less honorable. That's us in our flesh. Listen, last week it was a rainy Sunday, and it blessed my heart to see a brother in the parking lot with an umbrella helping people in. You know that God bestowed just as much honor as that act than the man that preached from this pulpit. You believe that? I believe that. You know that? There's some people sitting in the nursery right now changing diapers, watching your children as I'm speaking to you. You know what? God bestows just as much honor on that as what I'm doing right here with you in this auditorium. And that's the truth. But we fail to judge that way. You know, we make judgment calls in the flesh. We judge. I'm glad that God does not judge like I judge. Because he does it. Look at it says, for all comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. God has put this thing together, not us. And no man is an island unto himself. You know that the decisions and the actions that you make outside of this building affect this building when we come back together to worship. It's not just about you. Listen, you have biological families, right? When a child in that family messes up, doesn't it bring tension to the home, right? Even the sibling that had nothing to do with the sin or whatever it is, it affects that sibling's life. Why? Because mom and dad are stressed out about what that one kid did. You know, your actions are not, you're not autonomous. You are a member of the body of Jesus Christ. Just happens that we meet locally at First Bible Church. But you know that the decisions that you make every day, they affect our worship in this building. What do you bring in through those doors? You know, if we were honest this morning, you know what we are? We are drifters. We tend to drift. We're prone to drift. I came across something that was really, it was a blessing to me, and I want to share it. Before I do so, look at turn back at Luke chapter 10, just for emphasis. It's all a matter of perspective. Hey, listen, I'm not mad at anybody this morning. I get excited when I speak about Jesus Christ. I really do. Because you know what? I should get excited about Christ. Listen, tonight at 8 o'clock, you know, there's going to be a baseball game. And I'll tell you, if it's in the ninth inning or whatever, I'm going to be screaming like a madman. There's no disclaimer. I'm a nut. I get excited. You know what, though? There's nothing more exciting, though, than Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ comes before that game starts, praise God. It doesn't matter. Because in the light of life and reality, you know what's important? It's not this, people. It's not the clothes. You know what I'm saying? It's where are you with Jesus this morning? Are your sins forgiven? Did you wake up this morning with a song in your heart? You should have woke up with a song in your heart. We shouldn't have to cheerlead worship service in this building any Sunday. You know? I mean, listen, think about who you are in Jesus Christ this morning. You know? I mean, it's an amazing thing that you could speak to God. You know? That God would say, come now and let us reason together. You know what? It's crazy. But we really think that that's an invitation for us to, like, somehow gainsay with God, and we're going to show him how he's wrong and we're right. Are we crazy? You know what? God doesn't tell you to come now and let us reason because he's going to show you that, you know, somehow you might have some right in what you're saying. No! It's so that you can see clearly that you're wrong and he's right. You know what I'm saying? And then, and if you're honest with this morning, all those games that we play, the proverbial crying in our beer, the fact that God even entertains that and he's allowing us to say, you know what, let's sit down, let's have a talk. He's a merciful God. Amen. Is he not a merciful God? Look at Luke chapter 10. Look it down in verse 30. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received them into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Isn't that an amazing question? She's asking Jesus Christ if he cares. I mean, that is a really, that's far out there. That's bold. No, Luke chapter 10, brother. Well, from the King James Bible, 1611, brother. We got the NIV this morning. I'm going to pray for you, brother. Luke chapter 10, verse 38, right? I'm sorry, I said 30? I apologize. Forgive me. It's verse 38. But it is the book of Luke, and it is chapter 10. All right? All right, bro. I'll talk to you after the service, brother. Boy, they're quick to jump on you, man. This is not easy, man. This is not an easy job, I'm telling you. You know? And verse 41, and Jesus answered said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You know what Jesus is telling Martha? Listen, let's think about this. What is Martha doing that's so bad? She's got company, and she's trying to make them comfortable, and she's trying to do the right thing and be a good hostess. She's not out there at the casino or whatever. She's not doing anything really wicked. But, you know, she's got the audacity to ask Jesus, do you care? I mean, think about this. And what is his response to her? You know what? You're troubled and careful about many things. He's not talking about she's worrying about the roast burning. The cares and troubles that he's referring to are nothing to do with her immediate situation, I don't believe. Because you know what? Martha made a mistake. She allowed the cares and troubles of this life to rob her joy. She couldn't even enjoy where she was at. Think about it. She's got a house full of people that she probably loved, family and friends, relatives. All right? That's debatable in some families, but you know what? Let's get past that. Right? And who's in her house? Jesus. Wow! Jesus Christ is dining at her table. That should be joy enough. Right? And she lost sight of that whole thing. You know why? But she failed to do that which was needful. What was Mary doing? She was just simply being still before her God. You know what happens to us? We get filled with the cares and troubles of this life, and then we can't even enjoy the simple things, like a meal with our family every day of the night. Or the fact that Jesus Christ is in your heart every day. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he said, right? And you know what happens? The cares and troubles of this life get so clouded in our minds. You know what we start thinking? He doesn't care. He doesn't care. That's a lie from the pit of hell. And we need to rebuke that in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're all prone to that. We throw our pity parties. Woe is me. He doesn't understand. Does he care? Yes, he does care. He does. But you know what we fail to do? We fail to do what Mary does. We fail to simply just sit at his feet and worship him and read about him and meditate about him. We fail to point our minds, remembrance on all he suffered on our behalf. I guarantee you spend some time, some quality time. Listen, let me tell you something. I don't care how long you've been coming to this church. Coming to this church is not going to grow you up as a Christian. What are you doing from Sunday afternoon to Sunday morning when you come through those doors? That's where the mumble rubber meets the road. That's where it meets the road. That's where you prove that God is real. And you know when I get the most excited about God? When I'm asked to preach. You know why? Because I'm making sure every day I'm spending time at his feet. And when I spend time at his feet, boy, my God looks so much bigger than my imagination puts him into this little box. And he's awesome. He's great. He's wonderful. He's mighty. And I'm amazed that he puts up with me. Are you amazed that he puts up with you? Wow. He's a great God. Let's not be like Martha and get all filled with the cares and trouble. That we can't even enjoy a meal with friends. That we don't even realize that one of the chief guests is Jesus himself. That's an amazing thing. But that's what this life will do to you. Especially in this rat race that we live here in New York. It's fast paced, man. We need to be still and know that he is God. We need to hear his small, still voice every day. But we're prone to drift. Listen, the enemy has it set up that way. He really does. I read this great analogy. I don't know if it's a true story. I want to share it. It's not mine. I give a disclaimer. It's a question I'm going to pose to you this morning. Are you drifting? Are you drifting? It says, two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that they had drifted until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam had become too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was dashing with strong force over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. Caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, they never came to the surface. After days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body, then two, or 3 days later, they found the other. Listen, the danger of drifting in this illustration is not limited to the physical realm. We are prone to drift spiritually. And you know what's really scary about drifting? And I'm not a fisherman. And the jacket's going to come off now. But you know what? You ever been in a boat? And there's something really hypnotic about the way the water moves and rocks a boat. Isn't it? It's like it can put you to sleep. It's like being in a hammock somehow. And that, you know, when you think about those currents, those undercurrents, you don't necessarily don't see them on the surface of the water, but they're there, you know. And before you know it, you find yourself in a drift. And it happens. Listen, you know what? It doesn't take any effort on your part to drift. It just happens naturally. And you know when we start to drift spiritually? When we simply stop doing something. When we simply stop worshiping God. When we simply stop spending time in his word. When we simply stop praying. And you know what happens? The undercurrents of this life slowly and subtly have you drifting away from your Lord. And you're drifting away. And that's a dangerous place to be, and we're all prone to it. We're prone to it. Hey, you know what? You buy cars today, right? They have stability. They have traction control, right? I want to give you a traction control verse from the Bible. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. This is our spiritual traction control, if you will. I'm a plain guy. I need things to be simple. It says in Hebrews chapter 2, and I'm in the right spot, brother? All right. Just checking now. Hey, we're a family here. You can't take yourself too seriously in the body of Christ. You know, really, you can't. You know, listen, we're all a work in progress. It's laughable that God deals with us on a daily basis. It really is. You know? Hebrews chapter 2. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Why? Lest at any time we should let them slip. We need to give the most earnest things to the things we have already heard. If you've been around this place any period of time, you've heard it all before. There's nothing new. One more, listen, what do you really come here to find some new, you know, the world is always trying to find something new, right? Scientists are always trying to find that mummified remains to solve their minds. We spend billions of dollars to go out in space to find a water source, and it's ridiculous what the world tries to do, right? They're looking for answers. We already have the answers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's no new thing on this, but we need to remind ourselves of the things that we've already heard and learned. Why? So we don't slip. So we don't go into a natural drift away from God. You need to put some things on every day. Amen? It's an unconscious process when you drift away. You know, I mean, think about it. You know one thing about drifting, too? You never drift upstream or against the tide. It's true. You never drift, you know? And you know what? It's the same in the spiritual. Listen, if you're not going to drift, you know how you're going to be going? You're going to be going against the tide. If you're a Christian today, that's just get used to it. That's just the way it is. You're going to go against the tide of this life, against the current of this life. And you know what? That's a good thing. And that's something that you young people, if you get that, man, in your brain early on, you will have less problems making good choices. Listen, I don't care what your friends are doing, what they're wearing, what they're watching, what they're listening to. Go against the tide. Don't go with them. If you find yourself drifting along and you guys are going at the same rate of speed, you better, an alarm should go off in your head and say, whoa, something's not right here. I mean, that's a good measuring point for you. You know, one thing about drifting, too, once you lose sight of the land, it's hard to really estimate how you're drifting because you lose your focal point. And when you drift too far from God, woo, it's just all downhill. You pick up momentum and steam. You know that the more you drift, the quicker the drift occurs. And you build up a head of steam. And you know that it's not only you that you put in danger. Anything in your path is now in danger. You know, when you make bad choices consistently, and you're walking in this door with your smile on your face on Sunday, and you're greeting people and you're singing, what are you bringing in your heart? Because that affects our worship here. Do you realize that? You know? You're endangering not just you, but all those around you spiritually. You need to examine yourself every day. You need to check yourself out, you know, every day. Make sure you're not drifting. Listen, you know what? How do we not drift? Keep rowing. Keep your spiritual oars in the water. Keep pressing towards the mark, man. Do something, you know? But start with just being before God every day. Spend some time with Him so you don't wind up with Martha filled with troubles and cares that when the blessings of God comes, you miss them. You know, that was a blessing that Jesus knocked on her door. He came to eat with her that day. And she totally missed it. She missed the blessing. Not only did she miss the blessing, she had the audacity to ask God, don't you care? Don't you care? That's amazing. That is amazing. Watch out for the undercurrents of this life. You know, peer pressure, the praise of others, modernism, skepticism, humanism, false doctrine. You know what the biggest attack on the church today is? Worldliness, liberalism by its members. And you know what the sad thing today is? That a lot of Christians are attacked by Christians. You know, we think that because someone is always filled with the words of Christ, you ever speak to somebody that, man, you can't get a conversation in with them without them talking about God? I like talking to people like that, where it's just a word of praise. And you know what? In the flesh, though, we think, man, that guy is peculiar, you know? He's not up on the modern song, dress, the culture of the day, the media. You know, he doesn't have a Facebook account, you know? Yeah, I know I'm stepping on some toes, you know? He's not tending his gardens and cakes on the computer. He's just filled with Christ, you know? And there's a saying, oh, he's so heavenly minded, he's no earthly good. You know, that's a lie from hell. You know what? We've lost a few members from this body of believers. They've gone home to be with heaven, you know, and I miss them. And you know one thing I miss about them? I think of two in particular, for the Jim Johnson. Whenever you spoke to Jim Johnson, you never had a conversation with Jim Johnson where Jesus Christ didn't come into it. And I miss that about that brother. You know, he always had something to say about God. And I remember my sister, Denise King, same thing. Whenever I talk to that sister, she's always asking for prayer. She's telling me about a song for Jesus she wrote. Or she's always talking about God. And I need that. I need to surround myself with people that are going to check me in and remind me who my mind should be stayed on every moment of the day. I don't know about you, but I need that. Because you know what? The junk of this life comes in and crowds my mind and judgment. And before you know it, I get like Martha. And I'm filled with the cares and troubles of this life. And I don't see how great my God is. I'm speaking about me this morning. I need to know how great He is every day. Every time I open up my eyes in the morning should be a blessing from God in my mind's eye. Listen, you know what? There's no shame in making mistakes. We all do. But what do you do about it? Do you want to be known as a Saul? Or do you want to be a King David? There's only one difference. You can debate on whether who made the most mistakes. Both of them messed up royally. But one was a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because it's Psalms 51. That's the only difference. See, one guy, he knew he messed up. When Samuel brought it to his attention, yeah, listen, I agree, I messed up, but just honor me now. He was too worried about his outward appearance rather than his testimony or his name in Jesus Christ. But when you hit King David with what his issues were, he was honest before God. We just need to be honest before God, brutally honest. That's all we, because you know what? It's not about you. When you got saved, it stopped being about you. It's about Him. You understand that? It's not about you or how you look. It's about Him. You mess up, you bring shame and reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. You know what? My last name is Andino. And as a child, I was brought up to believe, and I believed it. When you go out these doors, son, whatever you do and decide to do in the course of your day, if you mess up, you're bringing shame to your name. And I didn't want to bring shame to my mother and father. I love my mother and father. And I tried to the best of my ability to do them proud. And you know what? We should be the same way. Look who our Father is. We need to do Him proud. And if you mess up, that's okay. Get on your knees, confess it. If you wrong somebody, go to them, ask for forgiveness, and let's move on. It's done. Amen? You guys didn't have your coffee this morning? You know what the sad thing is? That God has truly delivered us from living a fruitless life full of just drifting away. He has. He's done all that He can to give us the victory that we need every day, to walk in the fullness of Christ. He has delivered us from all those things, those undercurrents that keep us from serving. You know, we know the verses. You know, I love the way the Bible's written, you know, and the emphasis, you know, and we should read it with the emphasis. What is that? What's that called? I'm not an English teacher. Where's my Pat? What's that called? Inflection? When you read something with that emphasis, right? You know, we need to read it that way from my God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See what I'm talking about. And for those of you who don't know me, no, I'm not having a heart attack. I'm just a guy that sweats a lot. So, relax. And if I do have a heart attack, I know where I'm going. Praise the Lord. I sweat in 10 degrees, man. As a kid, when I used to play football in the street, steam would come off my body, literally. Just steam. I don't know what it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look what it says in verse 19. I love the way this verse starts. It's like, what? Forget about it. What? Wake up, stupid. I mean, what's wrong with you? What? Don't you know? What does it say? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You're not your own. Why? For you're born with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. What? Which are God. Listen, you know what? We need to walk through this life like we're on, you know, what do they call it? The senior prom. You know, guys, you go to that monkey suit store and you get that tuxedo with those cheap plastic suits. I never got the cheap plastic suits, by the way. I wore my own shoes. That's nasty. You know? I mean, I'll rent the tux, but man, the shoes? I don't know. But you know what? We need to go through this life with the mindset that this suit we're wearing is on my own. And you know what? Somebody paid a deposit for you to wear it. And one day you're going to have to give it back. And depending on how good care you took of it, there's going to be a penalty. You know what? You're not your own. You don't have the right to walk in your body like there's no consequence. Like there's no reckoning. Young people, listen, I don't care how beautiful her smile it is. I don't care how enticing her perfume may be. And young ladies, I don't care how buff his body may be. Listen, if he or she is not saved and you are, you have no business even entertaining the thought. You have no idea. You know what the problem for us today is? That we're so caught up in the world and full of the cares and trouble that it doesn't matter to us anymore. And that's sad. When a young person who's saved, maybe you got saved at 5, maybe at 10, I don't care when, a person who's been redeemed by the blood, who's a child of a king, would dare entertain being yoked with somebody who has no idea who God is. That's a danger. You have no idea. You are playing with fire. Leave that thing alone. Listen, flee that thing. Don't make that mistake. It matters. Wait. Listen, you don't think the God that can part the Red Sea can send you the person to spend the rest of your life with? Do you doubt that? Are you kidding me? Do you really doubt that? You know what? You're like Martha. You might as well ask Jesus, don't you care? Yeah, he cares. Be patient. He's got something good for you. Better than what you can conjure up. Believe me. Believe me. And that has nothing to do with my message, but man, please, take heed to that. It matters. It matters. And you know what? It ain't even enough that the person is saved. Because even saved people get married and it doesn't work. Are they walking with God? That's important. It's important, people. Don't just throw out the baby with the bathwater. I know you don't know what that means. I didn't know what it means, so I watched some History Channel thing about a year ago. They used to wash back in the day. Everybody took a bath in the same tub of hot water. And so by the time the baby took a bath, that bathwater was so dark, you didn't know the baby was in it. So they used to have a saying, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I won't charge you nothing for that one. Listen, turn to Galatians chapter 2. That was before my time, by the way. Galatians chapter 2. It says here in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Listen, it's not your life anymore, people. Somebody took up residence when you got saved. And you know what? Listen, in our flesh, we're not able, but God is able. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Familiar verses. Philippians chapter 2. It says here in verse 13, it says that, for it is God which worketh in you both what? To will and to do of his good pleasure. In your flesh, you're not able to make the right choices for God. That's okay. But it's God working in you. He can superimpose his desires above yours, and he can replace your earthly desires with heavenly desires, and he can give you the ability not only to will, but to do of his good pleasure. You gotta believe that, people. Believe that. You gotta taste and see that God is good. He's able to do that. Listen, we're not sufficient. The Bible says, though our sufficiency is of him. I'm not sufficient to speak with you this morning, but he's sufficient. I'm not telling you anything that wasn't already given to me. These are not my words. So it's, man, whew, it's off me. You know, I witnessed to a man on Friday, you know, he agreed with everything, like he nodded, but he just didn't get it. He just didn't get it. And I can't make him get it. You can't make anybody get Jesus. Some water, some plant, but only God somehow supernaturally comes down and he gives the increase. Only he can turn the heart of a king. Didn't that happen that way with you? Did you just get it? How many years did somebody in your life pray for you? How many loved ones were on their knees, huh? And then the light went off. Maybe some people just heard it once and boom, it happened, right? But that's not normally our way, you know? Sometimes we got to get beaten over the head for a little bit, right? Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's all about him this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says that in verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Faithful is he. It ain't even about your faithfulness. You know what? You need to cry, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because you know what? We're prone to doubt. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to say, Lord, I believe, but Lord, help my unbelief. Help that part of me today that's just doubt, that's a little apprehensive. You know what I'm saying? That's what we need to do. Keep it real. Keep it simple. Look at, we need to increase in the knowledge of God. You know, one thing I failed to mention about, you know, every day, you know, physically speaking, you grow, and then you get to a certain point in your life where you physically, you stop growing. And I don't know, some people say you can shrink. I don't know, maybe I think it's more of a posture issue, but you don't go from being 6'3 to 5'9 in your lifetime. Normally speaking, if you go to a certain stature, that's your stature for the rest of your life. But you know what the scary thing about? In the spiritual realm, when you take one day off, do you know that you lose ground spiritually? That you don't maintain the growth to that part. You know, it's like that drifting effect. As soon as you take your boat oars out of the water, what happens? You move back. You might have rowed to 100 yards of the shore, but when you take your oars out of the water, now you move back about 10 yards. And spiritually, it's the same thing. Every day that you fail to spend time with your God, you know what happens to you spiritually? You shrink. And now you got to make up ground just to be where you were before. Hey, it's like weightlifting. You know, weightlifting is like a drug because you start seeing results, you start plateauing, you're increasing your bench weight, your curl weight, but you take some days off and you know what happens? You lose it. And then you got to work back in the gym to get back where you were and add. Listen, don't take any days off. You can't afford to stunt your growth. Every day you need to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 1. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10, it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. Increasing. Strengthened with all might, in verse 11, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Wow. Look it down in verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Wow, we need to remind ourselves of that every day, man. He's translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, he is able. He is able. Listen, we need to walk in that fullness. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Look down around in verse 13. It says here in verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 3, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You get that? This whole family of believers, okay, is named after that name which is above every name. Amen? We need to walk in that light. That ye should grant you, 16, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, where in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints, what? What is the breadth, length, and depth, and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without an end. Amen? Listen, he is able. He is able. He is sufficient. There is no doubt about that. And we just need to remind ourselves of that. You know that? Turn to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. You know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Who can? You know what the problem with us today is? That we get filled with the cares of this life, consumed with our bills, circumstances. And listen, I'm not belittling your situation. You know, we all have different issues that we battle. I might have 100% victory over a demon that plagues you every day. And you might have 100% victory over one of the demons that I battle every day. That doesn't make me better than you, and that doesn't make you better than me. Because you know what? I don't know what point in life you got saved. You know, I don't know where you were when you got saved. I don't know how much water flowed under your bridge. It doesn't matter. But you know, the point is that wherever you're at, God is able. He's able to give you that victory. You know why? Because he walked in our shoes, in a sense, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 2. It says in verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, in Hebrews 2:14, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, who? The devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Do you believe that this morning? He is able. You know what our problem is? That we get consumed, we make the mistake, we throw our pity party, and you know what we fail to do? We fail to look up. We fail to look up. And what do? We look out. We look out into the world. We look out into psychologists. We look out to pharmaceuticals. And listen, you know what? I'm not belittling anybody that's on any medication here this morning. I know there might be some real biological imbalances. But you know what it says here? That my God is able. He's able. Didn't he cast those demons out of the maniac of Gadara? Foaming at the mouth? He was able to restore that man's right mind. God is able. God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know what that tells me? That being fearful is a spirit. But of what? Of power and of love and a sound mind. If you have a sound mind this morning, that is a spiritual benefit of being a child of God. And if you don't have a sound mind, maybe that's a symptom of letting the enemy get in there. I don't know. Listen, I'm not a doctor. I only believe what I read. If my God is able to take a maniac who foams at the mouth, who hurts himself, and make him sane, can't he do all things? He raised people from the dead. What can he do? He could do all. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ask or think. He's only limited by our unbelief, our doubt, our fears, our apprehensions. Ask, it says, and you will receive. Just ask, believing, and it'll happen. Amen? Ask according to his will. Prove your God. Be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I don't care what you do, but you know what? I'm not serving your God. Throw me in the fire. And when you look in that fire, there'll be the fourth person there, like the Son of God. Woo! That's crazy, huh? Not even the smell of smoke. You ever go around a campfire? You come home, woo, you stink. Not even the smell of smoke on their bodies. Woo! That's amazing. He's a big God. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. It says in verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that why? We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, if you messed up this week, it's okay. Come boldly to the throne and get that grace and that mercy that you need in your time of need. You need it. Don't you understand that? There's no shame in messing up. There's no shame in falling down. But get up, look up, and keep walking. That's what it's about. Listen. You might have walked in here this morning filled with fear. I don't know what it is. Just gripped with anxiety. You know what my Bible says? It says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he delivered me from all my fears. Maybe your life is just filled with troubles. I don't know. I don't know what your situation is. God knows. You know what the Bible says? For he had delivered me out of all trouble. All trouble. Not some trouble. It says he delivered me out of all trouble. Maybe it's just that you have a predisposition just to be a deceitful person. You just like to sow discord. You just like to do deceitful, wicked things. You know what the Bible says? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from the destructions, from their destructions. Maybe it's that you're just beguiled on a continual basis, a besetting sin. Maybe your issue is just temptation this morning. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of the temptations, the Bible says. Hey, maybe it's your lips, maybe your tongue. You just like to tell a little white lie now and then. Maybe that's what it is. You know what the Bible says? It says to deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. And listen, maybe your circumstances are so bad that every night you literally cry yourself to sleep. And I'm not belittling your situation here this morning, please. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, it says, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. You know what? Our God is able. He's able. I don't care what your circumstances are. I don't care how bad you felt. I don't care how much sin you've allowed to come and creep into your life. God is able. He's able to restore you. You know, the fact that you're sitting here this morning and you're here is a testimony to His grace and mercy. If it wasn't for His grace and mercy, you would have stopped breathing through the night. It's a testimony. When you wake up in this morning, you should praise God, because that's evidence that He kept you through the night and that His mercies are fresh and new. Isn't that a great thing? Look at, I'm closing it down. Look at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. It says in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." Listen, just get over it. As a child of God, if you're going to go against the currents and tides of this life, you're going to be viewed as a peculiar person. And that's okay. Just be concerned about what does your Heavenly Father see when He looks down from His perspective. I guarantee you, you cannot be filled with enough praise. You cannot mention the name of Jesus. You can't read long enough. You can't pray hard enough. You can't do anything in His name. You can't fill your life. There's not enough hours of the day where Jesus, where God's going to look down and say, "Whoa, he's a peculiar zealot." No, not at all. Be peculiar in Jesus' name. Let people know who you are. Is there any evidence that you are a child of God? Do people know that about you? Walk worthy of Him. Walk worthy. Look at Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 74, that He would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him, all the days of our life. All the days of our life. All of them. Not just the ones that we feel good. All the days. That's what He wants. And He's done all that He's had to do to make that a reality. There's nothing more He can do for us, folks. You know, there's not going to be a day when you just wake up and you feel like a super Christian, you know. You got to do your part. He's given us, He's equipped us with everything that we need to live this life. And you know what? This life is full of the heartaches and disappointments. And like Pat mentioned earlier, you know what? Think about how it would be if there were no heartaches, if there were no bumps in the road. If there were no disappointments, if your bills got paid with no trouble every week, every month, you know, if there was not a hiccup in any of our lives, you know what? We would think less of God and more of ourselves. That's just the reality, people. Let's be real with God. Be honest with yourself, you know. He allows these little hiccups and bumps. Why? Because you know what? We're not prone to look up. We're prone to look on our circumstances. You know, and sometimes He needs to get our attention and look up. And some of us are more stiff-necked than others. Sometimes the bump needs to be a pothole or crater before we'll look up. That doesn't make you better than me, and that doesn't make me better than you. But God has tempered this body together. He knows that we're individuals. He knows that for some children, it's got to be a swift step smack on the back of the neck. And for others, just a glaring look to get our attention. But you know what? Don't ever get to the point where you start asking and saying, Jesus, don't you care? Man, don't you see what's going on? Yes, he does care. He always cares. He cared enough to allow himself to be spit upon, mocked, hung naked on the tree. He's done all he can for us. What more? We need to lay our lives down as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Why? Because it's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Where? In the renewing of your mind. This is where the attack comes, right here. This is your biggest enemy. This. That's it. It's not the devil. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your wife or your husband. It's you. You're your biggest impediment every day you walk and breathe. That's the truth. At least one person agrees with me. Thank you, brother. Amen, brother. Listen, we hang around each other long enough, we're going to disappoint each other. We're going to hurt one another. You show me a family where kids grow up and no one has an argument. Everybody just loves one another. Everything's hunky-dory all the time, right? And I'll show you a family that's not living and breathing. I mean, let's be real. But you know what? How do we deal with those things? That's the question. Are we going to be like Saul and say, yeah, I know I messed up, but just honor me now. I don't want to deal with those issues. Or are we going to be like David and just confess the thing, get it right, and move forward? I guarantee you hang around me long enough, I'll disappoint you. I'll say something to offend you. And you know what? If it ever gets to a point where you feel like there's a schism between us, come seek me out. Speak to me. Let's get the thing right, and then let's walk on. Let's love one another. Let's provoke one another to love and good works. Well, that's not the enemy. That's the enemy coming and put a wedge between us. People stop coming to church because the pastor said this, because so-and-so didn't say hello. Listen, it's hogwash. You have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ this morning. You know that? Your future has been settled forever. So you know what? Let's wipe our noses and let's keep pressing towards the mark. You know what I'm saying? Come on now. That's what it's about. You know? Let's get our eyes off each other and let's get our eyes on Jesus Christ. Because I guarantee you look at Jesus, he'll never offend you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never make you angry. Or you'll get angry at God, but it's not his fault. It's yours. And let's walk worthy of him, because you know what? He is worthy. And you know what? He's coming back. Well, I don't care whether you believe it or not. He's coming back. And all this nonsense and minutiae that we allow to creep up in our lives, we'll give an account for it. And you know, it's going to all seem like dung in his presence. It really will. You know, it's going to seem like dung. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. I hope it was a blessing to you. God is good all the time, even when we forget that to be so. Let's bow our heads. And I don't know if there's someone here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior.